the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
James Collin, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, lads?
Yeah, good. We want to preview the weekend's action. Kind of the easiest way to do that is to look back a little bit at last weekend. Now that the dust has settled, what's your take on what happened between Leinster and Munster?
The word belief has been thrown around all week, I think, from everything I've read and everything I've seen. I don't think belief would have been a starting point for Munster. Leinster have just more quality at the moment. The reality of it is that Leinster are a better rugby team than Munster are today, and they've shown it consistently, which absolutely galls me to say, but I think that's the reality of it. And Munster need to close the gap. I remember hearing you say about kicking a dog when he's down a couple of weeks ago before in the preview of the match, or don't give a guy a head start. I think Leinster showed that, like, they showed we're still number one here, lads. You've a bit of work to do if you're going to catch us up, and that's exactly what they did, unfortunately, for any Munster fans out there.
From Munster's perspective, it was interesting to hear that they were quite open about how devastated they were in the press conferences this week, and how mentally they were still working on picking the players up after that. That's a difficult job. It's very difficult. It's the cup final, and there was all the emotion into it. So, like, what, from your experience, how do you try and get a turnaround? How do you get a response? At what point during the week can you park that and start looking forward to this week?
Normally, you'd say Monday afternoon when you do your tour, you know, your review on a Monday afternoon or a Monday morning. Okay, you've had your 48 hours of feeling sorry for yourself. They need to rectify it quickly, because there isn't a break coming. Like, Leinster are at the same level as Toulouse are at. So Toulouse come around the corner would shake the cobwebs off very quickly when they start looking at them in their previews and looking at what they're doing. That's grand from a coach's point of view. That's where you're at. You know, you say, okay, we've put it away now, we move on. But, you know, player-wise, it could be Wednesday before guys actually get around to putting it away. Or do they put it away afterwards is the question you ask yourself. If things start turning a small bit for Toulouse, are Munster going to have the belief, or will it creep in? Oh, here it goes again. So there are a lot of questions from a coaching point of view. I know there's some very, very strong characters in the group, who will be trying to guide everybody around the place, but they can't do it for them. So when I talk about strong characters, CJ, Pete, you know, there's guys behind the scenes as well that wouldn't be getting a much game time, would have a huge role to play. Like Tommy O'Donnell will have a huge role to play with his experience behind the scenes. Maybe he won't be in the group, but it's those kind of guys who need to drive on the group this week, especially, you know. So it's difficult to say. You're wondering, is it here we go again? Because it's been a long time since we've won anything in Munster, you know.
How do you go about changing it from a setup that requires almost the energy of the crowd and requires that the passion that comes with wearing a Munster jersey into something more cold like Leinster have? They seem to not rely on passion whatsoever.
No, there is a passion in there, because the guys are playing for the jersey. The bit that they are, they're a lot more. The 40 guys in their group are at pretty much a level. Yeah, you have your internationals, but you have 21, 22-year-olds who are pushing the boat, you know, and Kenny Doris. So you have all the names that will rattle off everybody's lips. But the thing for them is that they've got a group of 40 players who are pretty much international quality players. There isn't a lot of teams in Europe have that depth. And Munster need to catch that up. Munster maybe have 23, 24. They need 40. They need at least 30 to compete. But the strength and depth is where Leinster are so far ahead of everyone else at the moment. I mean, you're talking about Toulon have really struggled during the international period with their French lads away. If you look at the results, they get absolutely hosed against Lyon this weekend, leading into playing Leinster this weekend. You know, so As I say, the strength and depth is what puts Leinster apart, and then they have really, really quality coaches and an environment where it's been like that for the last 10 years. It hasn't happened 1 year or over one day or 1 week or somebody's changed something and that's revolution. It's been small steps for the last 10 years, and that's why they are where they are.
Like, I guess there's a case to be made as well that you do see a much better version of Munster last Saturday if they don't get beaten up front. So what can we expect to see from Toulouse in that department this weekend? Is it going to be a similar story to the Leinster game?
Unfortunately, the thing is, for when everybody looks at Toulouse, they look at their standout, their stars, the Colbys, Ouje, Dupont, Intermac. The thing is, Toulouse win the game up front. We played them a couple of weeks ago ourselves with Brief. We were right in it for 60 minutes, and then they decided, right, well, you've had enough now of the ball. We're going to keep it for 20 minutes, and they just maul us up and down the pitch. They've got a really good lineup with the two Arnold brothers, who are 2 meters and something. And they've got big, strong ball carriers, probably Cross. They could play. There's the young guy Flamont that maybe the Munster guys won't be aware of. Another guy who's nearly 2 meters, carries really well, plays in the back row, very active. Mafua, and then they've an international front row who have no problem passing. No problem gratting over the ball, being a nonsense with Marshall and Boy. So the thing with Leinster, with Toulouse and Leinster, is they're similar, is that they'll beat you up first, and then they have flair players behind it. There's a young fellow, Maxime Lebel, who scored 11 tries in the top 14 this year. You know, maybe that people at home would know of him, but he's an extremely good player. So I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the wing with Hugh J and Colby at 15. So Munster's kicking game needs to be really good. Do you give him lineouts and then they maul you, or do you keep it on the pitch and you have to you have to deal with the likes of their back three? So it's going to be an interesting one for the coaches to decide how we're going to do this and how we're going to attack and what we're going to do in regards to beating Toulouse this weekend.
Did they rest players against Montpellier last week? Is that why Montpellier were able to beat them?
Yeah, there was a bit of... Hugo Mola is a bit of, you know, he's good at pleading the poor mouth, to be honest with you, because they lose a lot of guys with the French team. If they have a couple of injuries, then they're... Basically, they played a mix of their five or six starters with a mix of their second team. Montpellier, even though they've had trouble, they still have international players all over the park. And, you know, that win will give them a lot of confidence. I could see them going on and maybe winning every game between now and the end of the season and then up in the top six. It's that mad, you know. So we're in a group of maybe five or six teams that have very little between them. You know, one game can bring it from 10th to 6th. So it's going to be an interesting finish to the season for us here. But I think for Munster, they really need to decide, right, at home, we're going to take them on up front. We're going to go after them up front. And we're going to keep the ball away from their stars at the back. And we'll see where that takes us. But they have a big, big game in front of them if that's how they decide to go about it.
Just you mentioned there, how are things going for you guys? I think you've won 10 and lost 10. Is that right?
Yeah, we're bang middle. We're 10th. You know, it's such a there's kind of like three leagues in the top 14. You've got your Clermont, your Racing, La Rochelle, Toulouse, and then there's a group of six teams below that: Lyon, Toulon, ourselves, Stade Français, Cast, Montpellier. You know, are kind of creeping back in, and then there's the four at the bottom are struggling: at Bayonne, Pau, Agen, who unfortunately haven't won a game, and then there's Montpellier, and teams have been up and down and in and out between that. So it's we do as best we can. We've been really, really competitive. And 10 out of 10, if we had said we'd be 10-10 after 20 games, we'd have been pretty happy, I reckon, at the start of the season.
I'm interested in the style of play. Is there an expectation that every team in France will play in the French style, or is that actually not true on a day-to-day basis when you're talking to the French coaches, that that it's up to each individual team to maybe each individual club has a characteristic style?
Yeah, it's the clubs wouldn't really be not buying in completely, but they'd be the thing that Galtier has been speaking about is this jeu à disposition. What it is basically is they play without the ball. They kick a lot of the ball. They try and avoid lineouts because this the percentage of tries scored from lineouts direct is about 60%. So they try and avoid it. Other teams, it's a horses for courses, to be honest with you. You know, Bordeaux would play a bit all over the place. La Rochelle have Skelton has made a massive difference for them up front. They maul really well, but then they've really good flair players behind the place. Roger will tell you better than I will around La Rochelle. Racing have kind of had a dip in the moment at the moment, but like that, they've been losing players international duty. So they'll be putting a big drive on for the end of the season. Toulon have been probably the one most affected because they've had a lot of injuries. They're both their teams got injured, and then they had Carbonell that was up and down with the French squad. So it's not like at home, as in, you know, if somebody went to Irish camp for 6 weeks, like Carbonell was with 25th man for the French team on the Friday night. He was pulled down to Lyon. He played. Started for Toulon the Saturday morning. So, I mean, you know, if needs must. But I think there isn't a top-down as there would be at home in regards to this is how we want you to play, guys. They'll give us the information. They'll give us how they play. They'll send you videos if you want to see what they're doing in training and stuff like that. But each coach is different and everyone picks. It's a horses for courses, you know.
Leinster are heavy favourites against Toulon on tomorrow, Friday. Is that just because Toulon have those injury problems, like, and they're not quite at the level they were at when they were the best team in Europe?
Yeah, I think so. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Toulon didn't really send their first team, considering what everything is going on in regards to injuries and in regards to where they are in the season. However, he won't want to do Collazo. He won't want to have them beaten by 50 points in 2 weeks in a row, if you know what I mean. So he may send the first team to try and get a bit of rhythm and try and get the best possible, but he will be afraid of getting injuries in a game that they may not believe that he can win anyone in the RDS. So it'll be interesting to see what he does in regards to selection. I know Parise is back now, and then they've quality everywhere. It's just adapting to what the problem for them has been, their nines and tens. Their 10 got a red card against us, was suspended for 3 weeks. They had two injuries already at 10. So then they were kind of playing Nonu at 10. They were playing their Tongan 9 at 10 sometimes. And then Nonu gets a red card against Lyon. So he's a bit all over the place at the moment in regards to selection. Once they get all that kind of nailed down, they'll be more concentrated in finishing the season well, getting into the top six and being in the playoff positions for the top 14, I would presume. But Leinster will still need to do what they did to Munster in effect, beat them up front. They'll maul really well. And then look for the likes of Henshaw and Cole to do the damage behind the scenes.
What do people in France think of the Irish teams?
The general is not that it's a shock, or it's just a quality. We're very efficient in everything we do, very professional in how we do things. The work rate is always something that's spoken about Irish teams, and they'll give you the old adage, oh, the French flair and the Irish fight and all this kind of crap. But in general, they really respect how the Irish provinces have come on. There's a massive, you know, let's say in French chapeau, it's a top of the hat. Like they really respect the Irish teams. They know that the quality of especially in Leinster and Munster, to a greater extent, from my experiences that speak about, it's always the big game for the French teams as well. So it's from this side, we wouldn't have been aware of that when we were at home, but from this side of things now that I'm here, while the French teams really really love the challenge of playing against the Irish teams, but also that they know that it's going to be a really good game.
Can I just ask then, on that point of where France rugby is going, and I mean that in the sense of the national team, obviously there's total autonomy for yourself and other people involved in clubs around France, but is there a sense of 2023 being the be-all and end-all for French rugby in general?
I think so. I think Laporte is really putting a big focus on it. Galtier, he's back. Galtier, you know, he was his captain when he was the French coach. Now he's president of the federation. He's his coach. They've put a staff in place that will they look to bring those 40 players through to the 23 World Cup. Still very heavily reliant, I think, on Dupont and Intermac. Jalibert stepped up this year. You'll have Carbonell coming through as well. But I think their focus is maybe getting 40 guys that they can pick. And it being a bit like the Leinster model, as I was saying, there isn't a massive difference. Whereas before, French teams would have been chopping and changing every Six Nations, every autumn. There'd be a different day playing, there'd be a bit different nine playing. They'd pick on form of who's playing well. Whereas they've kind of stuck with the idea of if we can get consistency in selection, we can continue with guys like Cretton, who's the back row with Leon, that maybe isn't the best back row at the moment playing in the top 14, but they see him that in 3 years that he could, or in 2 years, that he's going to be the line-out operator for the World Cup going in. So I think, you know, you can start to see they're picking guys that maybe are, why he's not playing that much, why are they picking him? Like Baptiste Pesenti here in Po has been selectioned a couple of times, and, you know, you wouldn't have put him in that level, but they need to, I think they've really looked at the Irish and the English and the New Zealand models of having the structure, having 40 guys that they can pick and choose from at any moment and bring them into the squad. And they've done that really well over the last couple of years now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, not great news for the rest of the world. If they can marry the consistency of selection with the flair, that's a fairly dynamic product you have at the end.
Yeah, it is. It is. And as the league is extremely, extremely competitive. Every week is a big week. Every game, you know, the Irish teams will say, like playing against the Toulouse or Clermont. But they're the games that play every week. You know, you watch Stade Francais, you watch Stade Francais Clermont this weekend. You know, Racing go to Bayonne and they're beaten. You know, Montpellier beat Toulouse at home. It's just an extremely competitive league. So to have that competitive league and then marry it with the consistency of selection, the consistency in their coaching, the message that's been passed, it's a very potent recipe for them to go on and to do something that they really could do something in 23, you know.
I'm really interested in what like happens globally with rugby over the next while. We've obviously seen the CBC money pour in, but France didn't need to take the CBC money at league level just yet. They've refrained and it must be very tempting to take a load of money. And I know that they've been sniffing around some way. Legally, it's difficult in France because France don't like to give these things up to venture capital. So, but the TV deal is huge as well. There is money slushing around the system. What's your expectation of where this goes? And should we expect to see more JJ Hanrahans and more Darren Sweetnams heading over to France?
I don't think so. I think because of the rules in the GIF, GIF is like a French qualified player that's come through a formation. So there's talks of that being 19 players. So effectively it's 19 players who've come through a French academy, regardless of whether it's your academy or another academy, that they're qualified. They've come through form in France, basically. With that, the likes of JJ and Sweets, what the teams will do is a bit like the Irish model, I think. They'll have their 25, 26 GIFs, and then they'll have their five or six standout players that would be international quality, that would add to a group in regards to environment, in regards to outside of the rugby pitch, in regards to their how they are in the gym, how they carry themselves around the place, and in regards to setting standards. I think that would be the model that most teams will be looking at now, because the reliance on having French qualified players and players formed in France. To be fair, the government here as well, in regards to the money, have kind of not given a blank check, but they have said that the professional games will be supported by the government, and there is a check of 400 million that the clubs can go to if they need to. But the league at the moment, I think the league have said to the clubs, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where in 3 years we're paying back a loan that we can no longer finance. So everyone has been pretty prudent, and you know that yesterday he announced again that there's going to be another confinement for 4 weeks. So we're still waiting to figure out how that's going to affect all of us in on a day-to-day basis. But you know that the qualification of the players now was what Laporte wanted to put in place, and he has. And it's important that the clubs, because there's a deduction in points if you don't meet your quota. Right. So clubs have no choice but to respect it, you know.
Right. It's a very obvious fix to all those problems that it seemed like the league was going to become Harlem Globetrotters from all around the world, and that was going to have an impact on it. Unfortunately, it sounds like Laporte has gone in and fixed all of the problems.
Not all of them, but there's... No, but he's like between himself and Galtier, they have done a good job. They have, you know, they've seen that, look, we're going to have a World Cup coming down the line. We're going to need players, and this is how we can do it without it being okay. You can play five foreigners or whatever it is. They've done it gradually over a couple of years. The first year it was 14, second year it was 15, the year after it was 16, and the 16 is this year. And they give exemptions to the two teams that are promoted, in the sense that if they need to recruit, because they will do their recruitment a bit later, they'll be allowed two extra Jeeves. So they'll count, like, if they have 14, then that will count like if they have 16. So they've kind of adapted it as well. They're still, it's a political animal. All the federations are political animals. So it's just trying to keep everyone on side, and he's quite good at it, to be fair, Laporte.
All right, James, fascinating stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers, enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, thanks a million, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.